Hello, and thank you for joining me for another installment of the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of the Wash and Word. You know who we are. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about us. Wash and Word is a hand car washing business. We're located in Highway 11W in Church Hill. You can find us there in the Palace Shopping Center. And while you're there, we also encourage you to tune to 107.1 FM anywhere in the parking lot, any time of the day, any day of the week. We want to be known as the place that you can come and hear a word from God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's what we do. If you like verse-by-verse Bible teaching, join me at Abundant Life Fellowship Sunday nights at 6 p.m. We're at 415 Old Union Road, and we're right there in Church Hill, kind of adjacent from the community swimming pool. And again, Sunday nights is when I do those. If you have any questions, come to washandword.com or come by the Wash and Word. Talk to myself. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, our son, Matthew Jr., we are owners and operators of the car wash. And if you have any questions, come on by and just ask. And if you see another young man walking around there, his name is Elijah. He'll be glad to talk to you about Jesus as well. Well, we're going to pick it back up where we left off, because that's what we do with verse-by-verse Bible teaching. You know, we do it this way for a specific reason. We are firm believers that it is all of God's counsel that Christians need to hear in order to be prepared and ready to fight the war that we are in. And friends, we are in a war. We are in a spiritual battle, and it's very real, and it's going on around us all the time. And so with spiritual eyes to see, we have a much better chance of defending ourselves. And in order to get those spiritual eyes, the best way to do that is to get into God's Word in all of its fullness and all of its entirety. Again, we never ask for charity, money, tithings, or donations. We are a self-supported ministry. Our mission and goal here is to settle the Word of God and not peddle it. So if you do agree with what we're doing, if you agree that verse-by-verse Bible teaching is so important, that all of God's Word needs to be taught and obeyed, you can support us by coming by. Like Paul, we want to earn the money it takes to keep the ministry alive. So let us wash your car, and that's how you can support the ministry. And also, tell others about us. Tell others about what we're doing here. We want the whole reason we're here is to get the Word of God out in a way that's a little bit different, a little bit unique from the four walls of the church. You can buy a shirt, a Wash and Word shirt, get a free car wash if you do that. We have gift certificates. We have different ways of supporting this ministry if you so choose. So we'll hope to see you there at the Wash and Word. All right, enough of that. Let's get back into the Word of God. We're in the book of 1 John. And John, we read verses 5 through 10. It's the last part of chapter 1. John is dealing with false doctrine. That's where we left off in our last teaching. Because we surmise that false doctrine leads to bad thinking. Bad thinking leads to bad living, and bad living leads to sin. And this is the whole reason the devil interjects false doctrine, because he knows it inevitably leads to sin, but he's not done with that. Like, that's not his end goal. We know the end goal for Satan is death, destruction, desolation, and this is what sin ultimately leads to as well. So there's a progression here, and it all begins with bad doctrine. And bad doctrine, or sin, hides itself in darkness. And we see this throughout the pages of Scripture, and this is why John starts off here. He says, God is light. And to paraphrase, he said, because God has come into the world through Jesus Christ, there is no more darkness. So in other words, there are no more places for sin to hide if you are in fellowship with God, in fellowship with Christ. The problem is, a lot of people don't want anything to do with God. Therefore, they are still living in darkness. A lot of Christians are still doing sinful acts, and that creates shadows in their lives. And in the shadows of your life is where sin, like a fungus, can begin to grow and remain. And so we have to expose the dark areas of our life. And by that, we simply mean to be obedient. And for every act or area of disobedience in our life, sin has a place to hide. But God is light, okay? So it doesn't have to be that way. And this is why in verse 6, he says it's a lie. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie. We lie. And we do not live by the truth. He's saying it's a lie and we're not living. Those are present tense words. He's saying we lie and we live. This is a current matter in the life of a believer or the life of a sinner. And this is the reason for the contrast of light to darkness. It is a refute, a weapon, an opposite, something to combat the darkness. And John, he brings this out because he says there can be no fellowship if light and darkness are both present. And this is the reason he's so like adamant about bringing this out in the very beginning of his writing here in 1 John. Do you know that drawer in your kitchen? Everyone, I think, probably has one. We call it the junk drawer, right? You got a junk drawer? If you know my wife, we've got like 3 junk drawers and counting. But hopefully she won't hear this message. But those junk drawers, you know the ones I'm talking about. If you were to open up your junk drawer and take a really powerful magnet and hold the magnet up and kind of move it around above the junk drawer, what would come up out of the junk drawer and stick to the magnet? Metal, right? All metal objects would come up out of the junk drawer amongst that whole mess of all kinds of miscellaneous stuff. The metal would jump up. If it wasn't metal or had some kind of aloe infused in it, it would remain in the junk drawer. And the main argument of the Gnostics of that day is that they're saying is that they believe that the body is evil and material things are evil. Therefore, God could not become flesh. So Gnosticism denies the deity of Christ becoming a man, or the deity of God becoming a man in Christ. And so people being evil in nature do not really sin. And again, this goes back to what we were saying. False doctrine leads to false thinking or wrong thinking. And because they've been fed false doctrine, their thinking is all messed up. And so since people are just evil in nature, we do not really sin, they say. They say we just exist, and the behavior henceforth is just natural. And they say that it's not offensive to God because God is spirit and man is flesh, and the two can never be connected. And so when Christ came, light came into the world to show us not only that we are connected with God, but that we also have intimate fellowship. And so Christ is sort of that magnet that hovers over the earth. And those who receive him as Christ, who receive him as deity, we are the ones who get attracted to it. And we can all be there. Christ came for all of us. We were all created to be magnetized, so to speak, by God. And so he says, light comes, it came into the world. Light has 3 main characteristics. The first is light reveals. Light reveals. If there were no light, then I could probably still hear you, but I could not see you. Darkness conceals things. Light reveals them. And so light reveals that the problem with me is within me, not that which lies around me. I can recall being a younger man going into some caves up in Connecticut where I was born and raised. And we would go into these caves. They were called the Torrey's Caves. And they were off the Appalachian Trail. And we'd go inside there. And, you know, they went down quite a ways. And there were times where we would just shut off our flashlights. And this is the darkest dark you can imagine. There's literally no light to be found. And this is what John is trying to get across. He's saying, look, before Jesus came, there was no light. Oh, sure, there was sun. You know, there was light in the day, but there was no fellowship with God. And light came and revealed these things. But that isn't light's only quality. So not only does light reveal, but light also measures. Nowadays, we had our carpet we had carpet put in not too long ago, and they came out to measure our room. And in the old days, you grab a tape measure, you string it out up against the wall, and you measure the room. Now they have these, they just hold it up against the wall, press a button, and a laser light shoots to the other side of the wall, and it automatically measures the distance. It's pretty cool. So we have laser light measuring, but light has always been a way to measure things. And surveyors use light to measure and to mark, because light, especially when you think of like a laser light, it is perfectly straight. And anything that you measure against it or put up against it, if it isn't perfectly straight, we're going to see that it is off or it's crooked. And that's what God's word being light is. It's a measuring stick of truth. And so as God's word goes forth, and might I add once again, by doing verse by verse, we present the entire gospel or the entire counsel of God's word, thus bringing forth the truest of straight lines. And then when you take anything and put it up against it, if it's not truth, it's going to be crooked. And this is why the word of God is the greatest weapon against false doctrine. Because the word of God goes forth and creates that perfect light of measuring. And anything that you measure up against it that isn't truth is going to be off. God's word is the measuring stick of truth. And when something is straight, what do we say? We hold up a piece of lumber. I saw some guy the other day doing that at Lowe's. He held a piece of lumber and looked all the way down it. And if it's perfectly straight, we say it's true, right? Oh, yeah, that's true. Something that's straight and in alignment is called true. When an arrow flies perfectly, or a bullet shoots, we call it true. Interesting, isn't it? So when something is straight, we say it's true. And the Bible is truth. It is the straight line. So not only does light reveal, light also measures, but also light energizes. Light also energizes. And that is probably the most dramatic quality about light. Light imparts life. It activates. It quickens. That is why you see lizards get up from a cold evening or a cold night, and the first thing they do when the sun comes up is find a rock to lay against, because these cold-blooded animals need the light and the warmth to regenerate or energize their bodies. Just as Jesus said, God said, let there be light, and light came into the world. It isn't until a seed or a plant gets light that it becomes energized and begins to grow. Light warms up our hands as we build a fire, and light and heat emanate from it. Think about solar-powered objects, which is a big craze now. You know, it is light that energizes those solar panels. So light reveals, it measures, it energizes. And Jesus came to show us that we are, if I can put it as succinctly as John, sinners, period. End of story. And the problem is us. It is in us. And when we stack ourselves up against perfection, up against truth, up against God, the Word of God, i.e. Jesus Christ, what is going to happen? We are going to fall short. But it is that same light that illuminates our weaknesses and our faults that can energize us. It's that same light that can reveal Christ to us. It's the same light that can get us true in our measurements. That is why we are reborn. We get reborn, born again through Him. And this is the purpose of John's whole light analogy. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then in verse 6, well, we won't read that. I'm reading from the Gospel of John now, but this is part of what John says in his Gospel. He says, we testify to that light. He himself was not the light, talking about John the Baptist. He was a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man. He uses the word light at least 6 times in the first 7 or 8 verses of his gospel. This is where our focus needs to be as we begin this book of 1 John. Well, that's it for today. Join me tomorrow. I pray that you're getting something out of these messages. If you'd like to hear verse by verse being taught live, come to Abundant Life Fellowship Sunday nights at 6 p.m. I teach there. It's at 415 Old Union Road in Church Hill. Come by the Wash and Word. We hope to see you there. And remember, washandword.com if you have any questions. Have a blessed day.